Well, good morning. As most of you know, we've been doing an overview of the New Testament for the last, oh my goodness, 5-6 weeks now, I guess. And today we're in the book of Philippians. Just to give you an idea about the book of Philippians, it's a letter from Paul to the church at Philippi to thank the believers for the gift that they had sent him to strengthen those believers by showing them that true joy comes from Jesus Christ alone. Paul never received an offering from anybody when the churches that he set up. But the folks at Philippi were so thankful for Paul, they sent him a gift. It was written somewhere around 61 AD. Paul helped start that church at Philippi on his second missionary journey. Almost 10 years later, when the Apostle Paul was a prisoner in Rome for preaching the gospel in Philippi, they remembered him and sent one of their own members, Epaphroditus, to visit him and bring him a gift. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter as a thank you to the believers for helping him in his time of need and to tell him why he could be so full of joy despite his imprisonment and the coming trial. Paul's joyful attitude is even more remarkable when you consider that he was unjustly thrown into prison. In Acts chapter 16, you can read that. And he may have sent this letter back to the church at Philippi with Herodias. So tensions in our lives, we know that we got a lot of tensions in the world today. And as the clock ticks down, Paul used an awful lot of sports analogies, and I want to do the same thing to kind of set the stage for the book of Philippians. The clock's ticking down. The ball launches up into the air in one last desperation shot, and whoosh, swish, it goes through the net. And one person did all this. And the crowd leaps to its feet, wild screams and shouts of victory. But in 1 second, with one wild shot, the game is reversed. And defeat becomes victory. The fans are happy beyond belief. In this day and time, we need to hang on to that whole thing, because in a moment, God can change all the circumstances that we're dealing with now. So we got to stay in prayer. But then Paul says the scenes change to the first century of Rome. As a prisoner, he is chained to his guard. Can you imagine being chained to your guard that's watching you? And he's soon to be put on trial. He faces execution for a crime, can you imagine, of sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with others. Yet he is filled with joy, and you wonder why. There are no crowds nearby to cheer, no moment of climactic victory, no shouts of excitement or enthusiasm in the air where he's at. He's alone in jail, and even once in a while he would get an occasional visitor. Now, we might expect bitterness and anger or depression to be the mood of the Apostle Paul when he's in prison like this and separated from those that he loves. But how surprising and refreshing when you read the book of Philippians. Just the opposite. The Apostle Paul received an occasional visitor while he was in Rome. And one of them, as I mentioned earlier, is Epaphroditus, and I can never say that word right, but it's a fellow that came up from Philippi to give Paul a gift from that little church that he started in Philippi a long, long way off. Of course, the Apostle Paul would have to write a thank you letter to the church. That's just his style. The Philippians in that note understood, but the letter of obligation, wow. Instead of truly a letter of joy, not just happiness, but genuine, lasting joy, there is much in the Philippians that takes this epistle to a greater thing, knowing that there is joy in all things. Now, here's just some of the notes that the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians. He said in chapter 1, verse 4, I will always pray for you, and I will make my request with a full heart of joy. And then in chapter 2, verse 17, he says, I want to share my joy with all of you. No matter what happens, dear friends, may the Lord give you joy. And then in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, he said, dear brothers and sisters, I love you, and I long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward. Chapter 4, verse 1, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. We sing that little chorus, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Wow, to rejoice in all things. That's the promised hope that we have in Christ. And Paul was surrounded with the assurance that Jesus was with him all the way through. And the Holy Spirit just strengthened him and gave him comfort. And the expressions of using the word joy in other ways throughout this letter. Now the scoreboard of life says that the Apostle Paul lost. But the heartbeat of this wonderful epistle sings out through the centuries that he had won it all. Salvation and eternal life, and there's no greater joy than this. You see, all of us who accept Christ into their lives, and to accept them with all the fullness of God's grace. And I like to paraphrase, I said this over and over again, but in Romans and in Corinthians, Paul also made a statement that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, we have something much better to look forward to. Eternal life. What a joy. What a joy it is to know that. Yeah, we have challenges, and things are just not so good today in our day and time in this country. But, you know, no matter what happens, we win. That's the joy and the hope that we have in Christ. So just a little reminder today, as we all travel through this thing called life, let Paul's letter to the Philippians be your model for joy, learning to discern, test the spirits, and make sure they're of me, Jesus said. Discernment, knowing the difference between mere happiness, which is based on happenings, and real joy, which is based on the true perspective of life that can only come through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Real joy never dims. No matter what life throws at you, you are loved and you are chosen by God, and you will live with Him forever in heaven. You see, there's no greater cause for celebration. And we hope and pray that everybody that comes to Bethel or listening to this message knows the Lord in a personal and loving way. But we never want to take that chance, because sometimes people say, well, how can I have this joy? Well, it's a simple prayer. Father, I know I'm a sinner. I know I have done a lot of wrong things. But if you're everything that these folks say that you are, that believe in you, then I want to have that joy and peace too. And you just simply say, Lord, forgive me for my sins and come into my life and be Lord over it. And guess what? It'll come and it'll be a joy. Now, life might not be a bunch of roses every day of your life. Things happen in this life. But I can assure you, if you keep on keeping on, study God's word and understanding really what this joy of grace is all about. Thank you, Father, for this day, and thank you for Phil and being able to get these messages out on the website, as we can't come together in church now in a physical sense. But we're grateful and we're thankful, and we ask that you be blessed and encourage one another in the faith as we go through these trying times in life, and be like the Apostle Paul, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. God bless you all. Have a great day.